this. But I want to share with you, I am a man that is highly blessed. I am so thankful to God. We have we've pastored, as many of you know, for a number of years in different churches. Now we have a congregation of people that's nationwide and around the world. We are a blessed couple. I love people like you. I love churches like you. And God just keeps enriching our lives with families like you. Thank you for blessing our lives. I also want to say to you, I am completely 100% blessed that God has given me the wife that He has. She's a godly woman. She loves the Lord with all of her heart. And I am very thankful for that. She too is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, just like you. She's not ashamed to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And I wanted to just say these words because I think it's important that she has the covering of not only me as her husband, but as the leaders of CRA, the board members that are here, as pastor and his wife. I believe it's proper when a lady steps up to the pulpit that the congregation know she's under the covering, not only of the Lord Jesus, we're all under His covering, but then also the covering of the individuals that are the men of the church that God has put into place. Amen? So, Jeannie, come. We're ready for the word to be shared with us. Bless you.
Am I on? Oh, I'm on. Can you hear me now? Well, you know what, Pastor Randy? I'm not going to spit. I'm not going to climb up any ladders. And what's the other thing you said? You said something else. I thought I'm not going to do that either. But it's true, like Dale said. I do love Jesus just like you love Jesus. And how can we say thanks for all that He has done for us? Things so undeserved, yet He gave to prove His love for me. And you made a comment. You said that we gave up 3 days. I appreciate that, but we did not give up 3 days. God called us here, and we would not be anywhere else. Like you, when He says go, you go. We love our grandchildren dearly. You've already heard how cute they are, and they're so cute. You know, sometimes they can be like yours, though, too, a little trying. You know, you love to have them, but when they go home, it's like, wow, I'm really tired. But God is good, and we want to be obedient to the things of the Lord, and that's why we are here. And we believe truly that He has called us. And there's just exciting still services left. And are you ready to hear the word? You got your Bibles? Amen. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Big Branch Church, that's you. Two passages that the Lord spoke 6 months ago to my spirit when we were really seeking the Lord on this whole thing. The next one is John 15, 1 through 17. I'll let you quickly get there. This is a great one for you. Tremendous. When One says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, Big Branch Church, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you, Big Branch Church, are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, what does it say? You can do no thing, nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, let's read together. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, Big Branch Church, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Is that not an awesome scripture? Let's read it again. And this is for everybody. I'm addressing Big Branch Church, but we are the church. And this word is for everybody. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be empty. Just like you want to keep your gas tank full, tipped off. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So that means that's a healthy fruit. It's not a rotten piece of fruit. It's a healthy fruit. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the commands, the promises, everything that you give us in your word. For truly you've given us the truth. And Father, you said we'll know the truth. The truth will set us free. But Father, we have to abide in you. We have to love our brothers. Love must abound in us as we abide in you. So, Father, we commit this to you and thank you that you would bless your word and that you would guide my words as they are proclaimed on behalf of you. And I will give you all the praise and I will give you all the glory and I will give you all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Now let's go to Psalms 1:1-3. You there? Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, what does it say? He shall prosper. So what do we learn about these verses? We learn that we should be a tree planted by the rivers of water. We learn that we should abide in him and he in us, and if that happens, we'll bear much fruit. I like this. It said, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And if anybody does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, we're repeating this, you will what? Ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Okay, so what are we to do? We're to abide, we're to love, and we're to ask. That means that our roots, Pastor Randy, will go so deep. How deep is that? That is so deep that no drought can dry you up and that no storm can blow you down. No matter what. Say no matter what. Say it again. No matter what happens in the world around you, verse 3 says you will prosper. The stronger the winds blow, the more you're going to sway in the breeze, and we're going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you all the days of my life. The storm, Randy, can't touch you. You're just going to sway in the breeze. He's going to come up and he's going to try to get you, but your roots, why aren't you going to bend? Because your roots are so deep. Economic downturn and inflation won't be able to break you. When the rain stops falling and others around you are withering, you're going to be thriving. And why is that? Because your roots are deep. How deep are they? So deep. How deep are they? Good. That's good. How deep are they? They are so deep. And you know what happens when your roots go down deep? They run into springs. But it's not just any spring. It's a spring of living water. You run into the spring of living water. Big Branch Church, you're getting ready to tap into a new water source that's plentiful. One that's not polluted. One that's not controlled by this country's government. It's controlled by the master planner. And his name is Jesus. Are you ready? Let go and let God be your one and only source. Let's see if I can lift this up. He is the one. Excuse me. It's because I'm so tall. Yeah, right. The glasses aren't reaching. He's the one that can be trusted. He's the one who will keep your roots nourished and healthy. He's the one that will keep you strong when the wind and the heavy snow piles up around here. And we've heard it piles up. Is that true? No? Dan says no. Anyway, we're going to pray for forgiveness here in a minute. But right now, we're going to assume that the snow piles up, okay? He's the one who will help you to stand strong and thrive in the midst of overcoming family issues. He's the one that will keep you financially solvent when this world is crumbling around us. He's the one that will keep you focused with your feet planted firmly in Him. He's the one that will keep you healthy and whole. He's the one. Are you ready to press in? Are you ready to press in? Move up to new heights with your roots going deep? Let's look at Matthew 16, and I'm going to read it in the message, but you can turn. Matthew 16, 13. It said, when Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what are people saying about the Son of Man? They replied, some think he's John the Baptizer. Some say Elijah. Some Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He pressed them, how about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon. God bless you. Son of Jonah, you didn't get that answer out of the book or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Pretty good. Keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. We've heard that this weekend. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. He swore the disciples to secrecy. He made them promise they would tell no one that he was the Messiah. Then Jesus made it very clear to his disciples that it was now for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day, be raised up alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that can never be done." But Jesus didn't swerve. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." But in the New King James, I like this, he says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of man.'" In reading through that, verse 15, and I want to ask you a question out of verse 15. It says, "How about you? Who do you say that he is?" Who do you say that he is? Oops. Peter said who he thought. Bob, who do you say that he is?
Jesus?
Yeah.
Everything.
Who is Jesus?
My Savior.
He is. Who is Jesus?
The King.
The King. Kelly, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is?
He's the Son of God.
He is the Son of God. He is. Norma. Well, you can say it too.
Son of God.
He is the Son of God.
Amen.
And you know what? He never gets tired of hearing that. We can say that all day long. It says, "Who do you say that I am?"
He's the lover of my soul.
He is the lover of your soul. And don't you love it? It says, "Who do you say that I am?"
My Redeemer.
That's right, your Redeemer. Who do you say that he is?
My Savior.
He is your Savior, and he is. You can see it. Joe, who do you say that he is?
The Word.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Perry, who do you say that he is?
Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. I think you've got it, church. I think you have it. It's not just Peter. It says, "Who do you say that I am?" Verse 18, "I will put together my church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." Verse 19, "Listen to this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. There is not a door one that you will come across that you will not have access to as you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." Verse 23, you run across something, you have an issue, what do we say? "Get thee behind me, Satan. Satan, get lost. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Things of men. What are the things of men? I think they're called religious traditions in the church. Your pastor talked about it a little bit. What are religious traditions? Do we know? Anybody have their thought of a definition? What's a religious tradition to you? Anybody? Rituals. Idolatry. How about things that violate the Word of God? Things that sound right because you've heard them for years, but are not scriptural. We've heard them. Example, religious, and some of these we've touched on. And as I was going through this tonight, I thought, wow, do I just kind of X them out and cross over them? And I thought, no, Lord, you're saying something, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and when we hear it enough times, maybe we'll get it, right? Religious tradition says it's not always God's will to heal you. Not true. Not true. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord who heals you. Does that mean you? It means you. It means me. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we've already talked about 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Thank you, Jesus. Example, religious tradition says God gets glory from Christians being sick. How many times have you heard that? Oh, well, he's getting glory for it. I'm going to suffer a little while because he's getting glory. Not true. The Bible says that people gave glory to God when they saw the lame walk and the blind see. Matthew 15:31b said, and they glorified the God of Israel. Mark 2:12 said, all were amazed and glorified God. Why? I guess the question I have is, why would Jesus have gone to the cross, taken stripes for our sicknesses, you like that? And then take it back to get glory for something that, it's kind of like one of those no-brainer things, right? Okay. Religious tradition says, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, that's kind of me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah. Yeah. We are children of God. We are joint heirs of Jesus. What does joint heir mean? What does joint heir mean? Partnership. What does that mean? Exactly. If you write out a will for your kids, for your son and your son, you got two sons, you make out a will, do they get equal shares? Do they get that they're heirs? We are heirs. It's ours. Everything that is in here is ours. We can possess it. It's ours. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We're the seed of Abraham, and the blessing rests on us. Oftentimes we begin to perish for lack of knowledge and understanding of God's word and his ways. How do we do that? By contradicting the word of God. Romans 8:14-17 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs, and if heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Okay, we're joint heirs. Religious tradition says the gifts of the Spirit ended with the disciples. No, not true. 1 Corinthians 12:7, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So what does that mean? Who's it given to? Yeah. Each one. That's all of us. You're right. Each one for the profit of all. We're going to read that again. In fact, you did so well. Would you stand up and read it out of your Bible? Same verse with the same answer.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
So who's it given to?
To all of them.
So do you think it died with the disciples?
No way.
I don't think so either. We are disciples. We learned that, didn't we? We've known that, actually, so that's not anything new. It's okay. Tell them hello. Tell them hello for us. Okay. Luke 11:13. 11:13. Who has that? Who has Luke 11:13? Luke 11:13. Who's got it? 11:13. Norma? Boy, you get the prize tonight. I'll tell you what, these people are slow.
And one of the... excuse me, I got a frog in my
throat.
Okay. But that's okay.
You do? Is it kind of like butterflies in the stomach? Oh, it's a frog in her throat. That's serious.
What can you say? And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Is that all? 13?
Yeah, that is 13. Luke 11:13? Oh, you know what? You got 12:13. You know what? That was an excellent verse, but let's go to 11:13. Let's read that too, okay? 11:13. It was that frog, Norma.
I thought I had it.
Okay.
Is that it? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
That's it. Your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him. So we already heard that it's available for everybody. And we already heard that your Heavenly Father will give it to you. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 1 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we can go through all that. There are the differences of ministries, but the same Lord, the diversities of activities, but is the same God who works in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's pretty hard to dispute the Word of God, isn't it? But yet, sometimes we do. Excuse me? Impossible, but sometimes we do. Religious tradition might come back and say, well, okay, but those gifts are assigned to certain people within the church. Well, some are, some aren't. But that's not what this verse is referring to. There are the gifts. They're the gifts of teaching, preaching. There are the gifts of tongues in the church. There are all of the different ones. But when he talks about the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one, that's different than the assignment in the church. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Verse 20 says, do not despise prophecies. And you say, so why are you going there tonight? Well, why not? Why not? I mean, let's hit it all, right? You know what? I've got a pretty little 37 Ford Woody. I bet somebody out there would love this little 37 Ford Woody, huh? Now, I'm not begging you to take these cars. I'll buy them for y'all, but if you don't want them, I'll just take them home. That's not good enough. Okay. I'm going to give you this 37 Ford Woody. Okay? But there's something I got to tell you once I give it to you. So don't you be opening the package, okay? You promise? Okay. Now, it's a gift. I'm going to give it to you. Do you want it? What do you have to do?
I'll open it.
Well, that's true, but how? Well, oh, my God. Good for you. Take it. There you go. Okay. You know, and when I got this, I didn't really know Pastor Randy, but I thought of him, and I thought he would look good sporting around in a little Shelby Cobra. What do you think? What do you think? Shall we make a faith declaration tonight or what? This is for you. Okay, but you can't open it. Okay, so how are you going to get this car? Because it's a gift. Okay, that's for you. Can you just see yourself in there just kind of cruising down the streets of Chesapeake? Oh, you know what? I kind of don't think so. Okay. And I have this other little car. It didn't have a tie. It didn't have a name on it. All it says is So Fast, and it's one of these little roadster guys with flames. And I'm really not big on flames. So if somebody would be big on flames and would like, oh, you want it? You do? You think you'd look good in it? Yes. Okay, then. Well, it's yours. Now,
don't open it.
That's right. And it's a gift. So what do you have to do?
Take it.
So if God has a gift that he wants to give you, what do you need to do?
Take it.
Exactly. What's for you? You think you'll look good in that?
Yes.
Okay. She does. Blue's her color, don't you think? Okay. So we have three little cute little cars out there. Let's think about it. There's just one thing I need to tell you about these cars that I've given to you that you're not going to open yet, right? They're cute little cars, and they look good. But I just want to tell you, there's no engine in there. There's no power plant. It's a good looking car, and it looks good, Randy. And you can sit in it, and you can look good. But it's got no engine in it. Pastor Randy, I mean, that's the best I could do is give you the shell, buddy. There's no power plant, but you're going to look good sitting in it, right? You think? You're not sure? Linda will? Linda, that's yours. Okay, that's yours. And then the other little car, you're going to look good sitting in it. You know what? Sometimes we want from God the package of the car, and we want to look good as believers, and we want to cruise down the road in this car, and we want to look good, but we don't always access the power plant that he gives us, and the Holy Spirit is the power plant, and we're saying, wow, you know what? Somebody's going to call you. They're not going to call you because you don't live here, but they're going to call you, Pastor, and they're going to say, I'm stuck over on the bridge between Chesapeake and Huntington. Will you come and get me in your Cobra? And you'll say, you know, yeah, I got this nice car, and it looks good, but I can't help you out because it doesn't have an engine in it. And I guess the silly little illustration I'm trying to say is sometimes we want to look good within the church. We want to look good within our relationship with Christ, but we only want to kind of get into the car and sit there and look good. We're afraid to access all the power he gives us. You know, it's like maybe somebody giving you a car with a Hemi. I don't know. I've never had one. But I can only imagine that you step on the accelerator and you're probably going to just shoot right off. Well, sometimes you're a little fearful. Have you done that, Carl? Is that why you're shaking your head? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, I won't. This is a side, but one night Dale was going home from a wedding, and it was about 2:00 in the morning, and he had another pastor friend with him, and in this little BMW he was driving, he was kind of doing the same thing, and kind of as he like, whew, by this cop, he thought, oh, so he just pulled over and stopped and waited for him, so he didn't get clocked. How fast were you going? I do. Yeah, it was way faster than you should have been going. It was? It didn't work very well? Well, he did give him a ticket, but because he was quick and pulled right over. But we don't access everything God has for us. And I just want to say, let's seek God. Let's seek after him for everything that he has. He has abundance for us. He said, ask that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. He said, if you ask anything in my name, you know, you ask for a Hemi, he's not going to give you a four-cylinder. And there again, that's kind of off the wall in that. But he gives us good gifts. He's a loving God. Bob, he wants to give you the best. But we got to give to him what's his. Not only in our money, but in our time. As we were talking about in the Word, turn your TV off, as we've heard that. Turn it off and get into some study and see if you're not just going to skyrocket with the power of God. Example, religious tradition. Are you still with me? Yeah. Okay. Religious tradition says, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. How many have heard that? 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have received the Spirit who is from God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. So what does that mean? Patty, if it says we have the mind of Christ, what do you think that means? We have the mind. So how can you be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good? Can't be, because he wants us to be like him. Example, religious tradition says what the world says, you'll probably lose your job and your benefits. Amplified in 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, Peggy, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Psalm 37:5 said, commit your way to the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I think it's time that we get serious to really embrace the Word of God. Big Branch Church, I guess this is, I know it's been kind of a long weekend so far and you're tired, but I want you to really tune in on this. So listen very closely. And the others as well, because the Holy Spirit has a word to speak to you as well. I called Dan several months ago because I felt that the Lord had shown me something, Pastor Randy, about your church. And I asked him the question so I could kind of go with where I thought that God was taking me. And I said, Dan, why was your church named Big Branch Church? And you told me, that's the road it's on. Because you're located on Big Branch Road. I want to tell you something tonight. You are not called Big Branch Church because you are located on Big Branch Road. That was how the early leaders tagged your church. But God had, and he has, a bigger plan for you than that. You have been faithful to CRA as evangelist missionaries. You have been faithful with your offerings. You have been faithful, not even fully understanding the ministry, you have been faithful. You have been faithful to other missions. And now God is giving back to you. Are you ready to receive what he's ready to give to you? God saw this weekend and knew each one of you would be here. For those that don't live in this community, as we said, or as I said, this word is for you as well. You just need to ask the Holy Spirit to quicken it to you and say, what is it for me specifically? You are at Big Branch Church because, you ready, Pastor Randy and Linda? He knew you would be leading this church on the brink of his return. And that's not all. Big Branch Church roots have been growing. They are receiving a huge watering this weekend, and I believe along with some strong fertilizer from God's Word. And Norma, you've probably been here the longest that's in here tonight. Is that fair to say? All your life. Big Branch Church is going to begin to bloom as a cactus in the desert. You are not going to be a church unrecognized in this community. You are not going to be a church known for status quo religion. You are not going to be a church that is not moving and growing. I believe God is saying, and I don't say that lightly because I am accountable for him for every word I say. We've already heard about idle words. He is saying, I have formed you, Big Branch Church, I have established you, and now I'm going to pour my Spirit upon you. Are you ready to go forth in my purpose and my plan, laying aside any and all preconceived ideas and moving ahead in the knowledge and understanding of my purpose and my will? He says, I am faithful, Kelly. Perry, he said, I am true. I am the great shepherd, Dan and Pam. And you all are sheep, and you hear my voice. Are you listening? Michael and Kristen, I desire to pour upon you an ongoing dose of my glory, my presence, and my power. Are you ready to receive it? As he gave it to me, and I wrote that out some time ago, and I have been pondering that and pondering it, the only prerequisite is if you're ready and willing to step out and receive it. Every one of those things are for you. Every one. How does this happen? By reaching out, by stepping out. Listen closely. To know and experience the resurrection power of God in our lives, we must constantly conduct ourselves within the sphere of the Spirit. That's for all of us. Listen again. To know and experience the resurrection power of God in our lives, we must constantly conduct ourselves within the sphere of the Spirit. The New Testament gives instructions for the church age, the blood-bought church of the redeemed. If you'll spend the majority of your time in the New Testament, you will know who Christ is. You'll understand the insight to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You'll learn who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ, thereby allowing you the privilege to walk in victory, not as defeated Christians, but as victorious Christians. We have to confess the Word of God and defeat the tactics of the enemy in your life. Ephesians 3:20 said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." There's that power again. The Bible calls us kings and priests. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins, and in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen." So be it. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," let's say anything. Amen. Let's say it again. Amen. "If we ask anything according to his will," and we already learned that we can know his will because his will is his word. "If we ask according to his will, he hears us, and we know if he hears us that whatever we ask, the petitions we have asked of him, we receive them." And, you know, those are not just nice little phrases. That's like red letters stuff. What does red letters mean in the Bible? It's the words of Jesus. You know, and this is a side, but Dale covered it at conference. In the NIV, and I don't know if any of you have it, the NIV version, we have over, 130-something pages of omissions from the NIV version of the Bible. And many of them are words of Jesus. You don't mess around with the words of Jesus. When he says it, he means it. We had a man, a pastor, sit in our office just a few weeks ago. And he was kind of discussing some things and had some questions and wasn't quite getting it. And we got to 1 Peter 2:24. He wanted to talk about that. And it talked about that Jesus went to the cross for the redemption of our sins, and he shed his blood for the redemption and took stripes for our healing. And he sat there and looked at us and he said, but you know what? That's really not what it means. What it means is this. And it was like, what are you talking about? I looked at Dale and he didn't say anything. His mouth was still kind of open. And I said, you know what? The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. You know, we're so busy trying to theologically try to come up with these nice phrases and these understandings, as and it was talked about the Greek, that we don't take the simplicity of His Word. The Word of God. The Word needs to become real to us, and it's not when the enemy comes and kind of lamb blasts us from the side. Oftentimes it's because we're not in the Word. We haven't spent our time. We haven't been in prayer. We haven't done what we needed to do to get the Word in it. In 1 Chronicles 14, David had a similar problem. He had been anointed by the prophet Samuel when he was a teenager, and he had known for some time that he was going to rule Israel. But it didn't quite sink in. It's kind of like this. We have the New Testament, and Jesus has told us who we are and what we have, but oftentimes it's like it doesn't sink in, kind of like David. It's time that we get into it, we take it, we embrace it, we move in it, we walk in it, and we receive the victories. Step over the line from trying to believe to actually knowing. And you say, how can I do that? By dwelling on the Word. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 said, blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Wow. Big Branch Church, this is your appointed time in history to come forth, to flourish like you've never flourished before, like the cedars of Lebanon. And when Dale was having us do the wave offering, it was like, whoa, here's Big Branch Church flourishing like the cedars of Lebanon. The roots going deep, deep. Psalms 92, 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourish. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Is that not a blessing? I'm going to step out of the box a little bit. Will you let me step out of the box? Okay, you all will, but I got to address the pastor and his wife. Will you let me step out of the box? Sure. I want everybody from Big Branch Church to come forward, and I want you to line the front of this sanctuary, and I want all of our CRA leaders to get behind them, and we're going to go over what the Lord showed us again, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to pray for them in the name of Jesus as they are declared and established in the new calling that God has for them, meaning that you're going to not be status quo. I don't think you want to be status quo. I don't want to be status quo. I don't think anybody sitting here wants to be status quo. From your worship, you can tell you don't. You want to reach out. So if you would step out with me, come forward. We're going to go through this one more time. And I'd like the pastor and his wife to be in the center. And Dale, if you would come and stand with them, please. You're both. But right now you're in front. Oh, we got to stretch. Come on up, people. There's room. We'll squeeze. I think there's one more that needs to squeeze in. Up, two more. Sorry. Three more, okay. And then CRA leaders, just line behind them. We're going to just pray over and bless them in the name of Jesus. But I want to go over this page one more time. 6 months ago, Pastor Randy and Linda and all of Big Branch Church, the board of CRA sent us away. We had never taken a sabbatical. We thought, we got to keep busy. We got to keep working. We got to keep going. We can't stop. And they said, after conference, they said, you are going. Here's the plans. And we went, and this is when God literally changed our life. In that, it was during that time that God began to reveal this. As he was doing something in your heart, as you sat and talked to Dan at Prestera, it is no accident that CRA is here. It is no accident that you and Linda are here pastoring this church, September 11th, 2010. He has called you. He has equipped you. You might have come in, Pastor Randy, and said, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure I can do this. God said, you are more than able. You are complete in me. You love me. You have a heart for me. I have called you. And today is your day. Amen. And he's going to take you places, Pastor Randy. You're not looking to go places. And I'm not saying that you're going to be on a jet headed to Saudi Arabia. I don't mean that. I don't know what it means. But you are going to go places within this community, within the realm, the sphere of where, whatever God has, that you're within pastors. You're going to be raised up. You're going to be a light. God's giving you some land. Why? Because he's preparing you for what's to come. And he called us at this time to bless you in the name of Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter how many days we have to be away from home to do it. He has called us to be here for you. You have been there for us. And he says, I'm turning around and now I'm blessing you. You are not called Big Branch Church because you are located on Big Branch Road. That was how the early leaders tagged your church. Where's little Miss Norma? That's how they tagged it. But God has a bigger plan for you than that. You have been faithful to CRA as an evangelist, missions outreach, as well as faithfully giving to many other missions. But God is giving back to you. And this is your weekend. It is your weekend to step in and step over and to go forth. Are you ready? Kristen, God's doing something in your heart. And it's deep. It goes back to those roots. He says, I see that. I love you. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is nothing that is too difficult for me. Nothing. Michael, you have been struggling with some physical issues. This is a new day. God says, I heal, I restore, I redeem. Yeah, to make us well, but it's to proclaim his glory and to advance his kingdom. And that healing is yours. That healing is yours. And we have the rest of the weekend and we can talk and we can pray. But God has a miracle for you. God saw this weekend and knew that each one of you would be here. You are Big Branch Church because Pastor Randy and Linda, he knew, and I want this really to sink into your spirit. He knew you would be leading this church on the brink of his return. That calls for a mighty big man and woman of God to fulfill the mission that he wants to accomplish in this area. Big Branch church roots have been growing, but they are receiving a huge watering this weekend along with some strong fertilizer from God's Word. And Big Branch Church is going to begin to bloom in the desert as cactus. You're not going to be a church and recognized in this community. I know that you're a humble man and you're not looking to be recognized. But you know what? It's God who exalts you. It's God who lifts you up. You commit your way to Him. It's Him that sets you on high. It's Him that makes your feet like hind feet on high places to go places that you've never even imagined. You're not going to be a church known for status quo religion. You're not going to be known as a church that is not moving and not growing. I don't know how long you have been, and maybe you see this and maybe you see that. You know, I don't know. I'm not here. But I know what the Spirit of God said to me. And He has seen some faithful people. And He wants you to lay down all of whatever issues that there have ever been and say, tonight, this is a new night. I'm going to go forward in faith. I'm going to go forward in truth. I'm going to lay down anything that's happened in the past. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do in and through Big Branch Church in Chesapeake, Ohio? That's what matters. That's what matters. You have to be united. You have to be united. He is saying, I have formed you. I have established you. And now I'm going to pour my Spirit upon you. When Dale and I drove up yesterday morning, we have come by your church before and come inside, but I had never noticed the sign on the outside that said established in 1890. And it was like the Holy Spirit just took my eyes there, Kelly. And I got so excited. I said, wow, 1890? And I started to share with Dale, and I said, no, Sean and Cindy are here. We got to get them out of the car, and we got to all pray. It is 120 years later. Not only is it 120 years later from when you guys were established, but I look at the significance with what God has done in America, where you are today, and as we were praying and claiming this for your area, and we were done, and Dale said, and how many people were in the upper room? 120. And I said, and how many people were filled? 2,000. You know what? I got to get my direction. Right up there on the hill, you start believing 2,000 people. 2,000 people. Not so you can say, well, my church is 2,000 people. It's so you have an opportunity to minister to those 2,000 people. They need Jesus. They need a change in their heart. They need to know that He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their life. It's not about if that is not the reason, it'll never happen. But as you go forward, recognizing that why He has called you, faithful is He to do it. I have formed you. I have established you. Now I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon you. Are you ready to go forth in my purpose and plan, laying aside any and all preconceived ideas, moving ahead in the knowledge and understanding of my purpose and my will? I am faithful. Have you found Him to be faithful in your life? I am true. Have you found Him to be true in your life? How many people have you come across that aren't true? He is never not true, because He is truth. I am the great shepherd. Sorry. And my sheep know my voice. Can I get the hand, please? And my sheep know my voice. want to start with you, Pastor Randy. Are you ready to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you? Linda, as his helpmeet, are you ready to receive? You ready to step out for the call that he has? There have been some employment things going on. God is just preparing you. He's just cutting some strings. He's getting you ready. He's getting you ready. You know what? He's not going to tell you what for. That's faith. Yeah. But he'll never lead you, as long as we're faithful to him, that it's not going to be the best ride of your life. He will always financially take care of you. He will always see you through. He has given you and equipped you everything that you need spiritually to be able to address the people within Big Branch Church and those that are coming. Your call is to be before him, to wait on him, to receive the truth of his word, to preach it like you have done, not to apologize. You stand up, and when you're done, you're done. And if you're not done and it's 12 o'clock, my friend, you keep going. It's not about the people. It's about the people getting the word of God. You are advancing the kingdom, and I encourage you, put the clock away and let God move, and you just talk your heart. Just tell it is just, I mean, you're just going to go. You're just going to go. You ready to go? Amen. Okay, let's all stretch our hands, first of all, to Pastor Randy and Linda.
Father God, we thank you. These are two that have been called by your mighty hand. Lord, you said in the book of Isaiah 49 that you create, you use that word, you create the end from the beginning. Lord, we are oftentimes and most always at the beginning trying to figure out how we get to the end. But God, you've looked at these two that you've sent here to pastor this church to be the under-shepherds under you. And you have called them for a time such as this. And you say to them that you've already created the end, meaning you've already accomplished everything that's going to take place in and through their leadership at Big Branch Church. And that which you are equipping them to do this very night, that which you are establishing them to do in the new building that is to come, that which you are equipping them to do in the people that are going to begin to come to this church, even in the building that we stand in, that people will begin to be drawn as they drive by this church. They will not understand, but they will be drawn to come here. And they will be drawn by your Holy Spirit that will draw them in to hear the unadulterated word of the living God. And that, Lord, you are equipping these two to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ without reservation, that every word that's in the Bible from Old Testament to the book of Revelation in the New Testament is your word. It is God inspired, and every word will be proclaimed to those that walk through these doors. And those that come that truly want to hear the word of God, they will come back and they will stay and they will grow and they will be in the kingdom of God for eternity because of what they have learned, because of what they have received under this pastor and his wife. Lord, this night we set apart afresh Pastor Randy and Linda to the great call upon their life, upon their family, upon this family of God that is Big Branch Church. We set them apart for that which you have called them to do, and we freshly anoint them by the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth in the name of Jesus, proclaiming your word of good news to this community. And God, we thank you for provisions that are going to be provided for them. There will be no lack in salary. There will be no lack in anything they need because they serve the God that controls and has all things under his hand. And so, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that we can now proclaim it. We can give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for the ground that's already here that's going to be built on. We thank you for the vision that's going to be put together to begin to look at plans for a building that will soon be coming, because it's going to be needed because of the flood of people that are going to come through these doors and will stay and will remain and will grow to be more like Jesus. Father, thank you in your precious name for all that you are doing. For these folks that stand with Pastor Randy and Linda and others that are part of this congregation, Lord, may they receive the blessing of Abraham just as Pastor Randy and Linda do, because that is your promise. We are heirs of the great man of God that walked this earth by the name of Abraham. And we, according to your word, receive all of the blessings, Lord, that were His and that were given unto Him. And so, Lord, we thank you. We proclaim this word. We now commit it to you, Lord Jesus, and give you thanks for bringing it about in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know what I want to caution you, though? As Theo was praying, you have to protect this word. You have to protect it. God had tonight here exactly who He wanted. Those of you within the leadership, those that are strong, those that are faithful, you must protect it. If any of you go out, and remember last night, what did we hear about our words? If you speak negative about it, it will thwart what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When He establishes it, it's like the mother chicken. There's all these chickens running around. And you guys aren't chickens, but we're using this as an illustration. And the mother comes, and danger is coming. So what does she do?
She takes her wings, and she does this, and all of the chickens come up under the wings.
And she protects them. That's what you must do with the Word of God. When He says something and when He establishes it, then we must protect it. We must continue to believe it, confess it, and Norma, by faith, walk forward in it, seeing the manifestation of it. Are you ready, girl? Amen. Cindy? Where are you? Will you come, please? Lord, I thank you for the people, the CRA leaders that have come. Father, I bless each one in the name of Jesus. I thank you for their faithfulness. Father, I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for their commitment. Father, I thank you that they don't worry about time, money. They worry about doing what you have spoken to them to do. Lord, I thank you that you're going to bless them, not only spiritually, you're going to revive them again this weekend, but they're going to go home and they're going to, Father, begin to see more glimpses of your glory, more manifestations of your presence. And they're going to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the weekend at Big Branch Church.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And little ones to Him belong. And they Jesus loves me. He who died in heaven's gates are gonna open wide. Yeah, he will wash. He's gonna wash all my sins away. And let this little child come and enter in. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Jesus, he loves me.
Children teachers in this church? Who teaches the children? Kristen, the lady. When she was singing, Pastor Randy, something else. Another vision. You were surrounded by lots of little children around your feet. Lots of little children. Some of these are the little ones like her. And you're the big one. Yes, you are. And what a pretty big one you are. Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? She's in third grade. You are the big one. Yeah. But you know what? You are just darling. And is this your little sister? Yeah. No. Okay, that's okay. You were surrounded by little children. Some of these are going to be children that are coming into your church. So you need to prepare and get ready for what God is doing. The other are the new babies in Christ that you're going to be discipling. Lots of little ones around your feet. Boy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tell you what, I don't think we don't have to worry about this with Norma. Kristen, you and Michael, got to be like this. Don't let the enemy do anything to separate you. Amanda, Kevin, have to be like this. You have a little one, but it goes, as we said today, it goes God the Father. Kevin Jeffries, you are the head of the house. Then it goes Amanda. Then it goes Darren. He is precious, but if he ever gets in the way of what you guys have, it will not be blessed. That goes for our family with our grandchildren. That goes for our children. Anybody here, your priorities are in order. God the Father, the husband, the wife, the kids. And you guys got it. Thank you, Jesus. What a new day.
I just thank God for the God of a second chance. Most of this front row knows my trek through life. I spent 20 years on a sabbatical in the wilderness like Moses. And I've been open the last 3 years to what is not traditional ritualism of religion in my life. And yet realizing that God called us for a purpose. And that purpose is to reach a lost and dying community first. Our Judea, our start in our own Jerusalem, start at home. And God uses little things, and you all had no way of knowing. I haven't spoken to them until yesterday when I walked in this church, and nobody knows this but this lady. God uses little things to show you that He's real and what's happening is real. And you're going to think this is crazy. But the one song that no one can know but Linda, that's been my song through life. And God uses that to witness to me through His Holy Spirit that this is real. This is not crazy. This is not two people coming in, whipping up a crowd and having some emotional service, and we're all about craziness. But God's worked this out, and He just confirmed it through what is, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you. We love you all, and we thank you for being here. And I do, too, agree that God's going to transform this place, and we're going to see people saved and lives changed and discipled. And I think it's just the people that will believe the truth and witness to a lost and dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Danny, go ahead.
And what you don't know is that the first thing He told me when He was made pastor of this church is that Jesus still loves me. And He was looking out for me all those years in the wilderness. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But you know what? We had faith. And I just have never just stood up here and thanked you, this church. He's standing here because you helped me pray for him. For a long time before he came, you helped me pray for him. And I'm in awe of what God's done in my life. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for coming. This whole thing has just been like we didn't know what to expect. And I still don't even have words for what to say except that God's real. And I know He's real in my life. And I just better give the microphone back to you before you tell me I talk too much.
One thing that's been somewhat of a theme is the faith. You just got to step out by faith and then believe that He's real and trust Him. And that's, till we do that, He's not going to bless us. It just doesn't happen. And I'm very cognizant of the fact that God's real and that He's able.
And if we just trust Him, He is going to perform something here that we just won't. I've Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And here's the key. I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You'll never imagine what God's going to do if you just trust Him and call on Him and put your faith in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Been a good place to be this evening. Brother Danny, would you dismiss us, please?